The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to NASCAR America Motor Mouse. I'm surrounded by Kyles. Kyle Busch, Kyle Petty, Marty Snyder.
It's always excited best to have Kyles around.
I've heard.
Right. Yes.
Hey, excited to have KB18 in the house. Kyle Busch joining us today. Good to see you, man. How you doing?
Absolutely. Doing well. Thanks for having me again.
It's always good to have you here.
Great show last time you were here.
Fantastic, by the way.
People have been waiting.
Truth and honesty coming from Kyle Busch, which we always
coming
love.
At you.
So, hey, I want to know, four races in the playoffs. How do you think it's been for the 18 team?
It's been okay. I mean, obviously, with our regular season and the strength that we showed earlier on in the year, we've kind of built up that points cushion. But unfortunately, we just haven't quite gotten to our expectations, I guess you'd say, in the first four races so far. But overall, we're right where we need to be. We're not down. We're not out. We just got to keep trucking along.
Yeah, I'll go back to Dover this past weekend. How important was it? Because I felt like you guys weren't where you wanted to be, but man, you salvaged something.
That's a championship.
Yeah. Just being there, that's a championship qualification.
Well, what's crazy is our teammates qualified really well. Martin qualified well. Denny was on the pole. And then we were 18th, and if anybody watched my lap, I was wrecking loose. Like, I just about crashed and was lucky to get what we got, right? And it just took all day to get ourselves up to, I think we were 6th when I ended up speeding on pit road, which then knocked us back to last car on the lead lap, whatever, all the way back behind all the lap cars. And then the whole rest of the day, driving back up, we got back to 6th. I think in realistically, we could have finished 4th. I think the front three guys were the front three guys. I don't know that we could have beat them. So really, we only lost second stage points, and we lost 2 points at the end of the day.
When you look back at a day like that at Dover, are those the key days to winning a championship and making a championship run? The days where you don't have a sixth place car maybe, or you don't have the car you thought you might have, but you still finish well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's obviously different ways and reasons to how all of this stuff goes together and works out sometimes, but yeah, I mean, Dover obviously being able to salvage that. I think we were really close to salvaging a pretty decent day at Las Vegas, if you remember. We were running fourth there towards the end and got into it with a lap car, I guess. But past that, the Roval just, ugh, terrible.
I think you summed that for a lot of drivers.
Yes, you did. So bad at the Roval. I was just like, why? Like,
it's just a hard track to understand.
It's not that hard. We go to Sonoma. We go to Watkins Glen. You have two different setups for that. Like, it should be like somewhat similar to Sonoma, and it's not. And it's like, gosh.
Yeah.
It's aggravating.
One of those weekends where you're ready to be done with the weekend.
Yeah.
And next year, guess what?
What's that?
Talladega and the Roval are in the same round.
Year.
Oh, my God.
Second round. And another round is Bristol and Richmond.
That's easy.
That's it. It is for you. That's
Kyle
exactly
talking
right.
That's Kyle's round.
One of
those best racetracks,
that is Kyle's
right?
round.
So, hey, it's time for today's starting grid. Of course, Talladega this weekend. We've talked about it already. Every playoff driver's probably least favorite race. You don't want it to wind up like this, Kyle, right?
No, ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch again.
None of that happening this weekend, hopefully for the playoff guys. Speaking of Sweet Home Alabama, KP drops the latest Coffee with Kyle today with two of the legends of the Alabama gang. That is cool, Kyle. Can't wait for the sneak peek of that coming up in a little bit. And also a double dose of Let Me Say This. We want to hear from you on social
double
media.
Up.
Kyle, I know you're shocked, but fans want to talk to you on Twitter.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, they do.
Let's talk.
That is all coming up today here on Motor Mouse. Twitter comments ever bother you, Kyle?
Yes and no. I mean, the occasional ones that are just like, what are you talking about? And like this other day, this guy sent out something about, hey, all you JGR guys and you SHR guys, you need to be watching what the 88 car is doing before the race at the Roval. They're pouring something in the gas tank.
Yes.
And I'm like,
yes. Yes. I got a tweet about pouring something in the gas tank. Yes.
All they were removing was the overspill, spigot, whatever you want to call it.
And some of it drained out on the side.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Like, oh, never mind. So a lot of times I just got to shut it off.
Yeah, you just got to turn it off, right? On the way home, turn it off. Don't even acknowledge it. That's the one that would bother me.
Listen, my name's Kyle. You can send it my way because I get tons of hate. I love the hate. Yeah. I love the hate, man. Just send it my way.
Help him.
I'll just give you my password.
That's it. I'll answer for you. That's what it will play.
Just help him understand that sometimes, Kyle, it's better not to respond.
No.
Were you in trouble a lot as a kid?
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
See, I've heard that from Kyle's.
Yeah. I think it goes along with the name Kyle.
Every time I hear somebody's name's Kyle, I ask them, were you in trouble a lot as a kid?
Yes. Yes, I was. Right. Yes, I was.
No more trouble moving forward. We want to jump to the phones and hear from you guys. You had an ankle bracelet. My gosh. 844 NASCAR NBC. As always, Carl from Akron leads off the show. I know you're shocked, Kyle, right?
Man. Love NASCAR.
NASCAR. What's going on, Carl?
Not much. How y'all doing today?
We're doing good.
Hey, Kyle. We always hear you guys talk about super speedway programs, your cars. I was wondering if you could maybe elaborate to us fans a little bit more. We know the tapered spacer, but what is the difference between like the Michigans and the Texas with the setups or chassis to the super speedway programs to the rest of the ovals?
From my knowledge, you know, you've got your short track cars, you've got your intermediate cars, and then you've got your super speedway cars and your road course cars.
Yeah.
You know, so you kind of have four breeds of cars, and then you have different iterations or versions off of those as well, too. Like, for some reason, like, we can actually run okay as a JGR group at Daytona, but we absolutely suck at Talladega. And so why that is, we don't know. We run really good at Sonoma and Watkins Glen and absolutely suck at the Roval. We don't know why. So there's different things. Like, Michigan. I'm terrible at Michigan, but we can actually, like, run halfway decent at Kansas. Those two places are pretty similar.
Hmm.
The Charlottes, the Atlantas, the Texases, they're all so different now because of all the repaves and everything that's kind of gone on the last few years that there's different iterations of cars for those tracks. And I said short track cars. Well, a Bristol car isn't going to be a Martinsville car, which isn't going to be a Dover car, which isn't going to be a Richmond car. So there's all kinds of different things that the engineers and the crew chiefs and the guys that are going to build different stuff for different tracks.
So there are differences between Daytona and Talladega. Certainly the way the race flows. Is that the best way to put it behind the wheel?
And it's just, like I said, I mean, there's just different, I don't know if it's cowl or cowl pressure or different. Yeah. Like, we've tested all kinds of different things over the years to try to figure out what the differences are between the two racetracks to make our cars more competitive at both.
Right.
And we just can't find it.
It's crazy how Talladega is different in length from this end of the desk to that end from Daytona. I mean, you think it's the same. You think it's a high-banked oval with a tri-oval. It should drive the same. It should be the same.
Yeah.
But they never were. Even in the same place.
Right. Being wider certainly makes a difference, too. So, causes
you just got more room to slide.
That's there you go. Difference. That's good. Let's head to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where we hear from Fred. What's going on today, Fred?
Hey, thanks for coming on the show again, Rowdy.
Hey, man, thank you.
Hey, my wife, Kelly, wanted me to thank you for the autograph that I got for her in Bristol, although I wanted to.
That's good. Yeah, good move.
She wanted the autograph, so we know how that went down. But anyway, real quick, before Petty kicks me off the air, let me say this. I hear Adam on the radio talking about the big picture when you aren't running well, and I see you taking a 15th or a 20th place car to a top 5 or top 10. With that being said, how difficult can it be to have a second place as the first loser attitude going through the playoffs and still race for the big picture in Homestead, and how much is Adam playing that role for you on top of the pit box to keep focused?
Good question.
It's a good question. There's a lot to that. In my mind, it's actually easier when you're in the playoffs to go through each race as a just take what you can get type mentality. And that's just because of the benefit that we had of the regular season and the bonus points and everything that we accrued during that part of the season. My frustration of finishing second is in the regular season because it's like, man, we were so close to another win. I know what that means in the playoffs. You know, so that pisses you off more than anything.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Finishing second in the playoffs is kind of like, okay, yeah, you're mad you finished second. You could have automatically won and moved yourself through. But in my mind, like, you can also point your way through. When we get to the final round, going to Homestead, there's going to be one guy that points his way through. Even if there's three different winners in those three races, there's still going to be one guy that can point his way through. So if you're the best of the guys that are pointing your way in, then obviously you'll be there.
Yeah, I've stolen that quote from you, the insurance policy. That's a great way to describe.
That was a great
But that's the perfect way to describe those regular season points.
Right.
Just having an insurance policy into the playoffs.
Yeah, so. It's definitely. I talked to my insurance agent after Vegas, and I asked him, I said, please don't allow my premiums to go up. And he was obliged. So.
That's very nice of him to do. Let's go to Kevin in Alabama. Kevin, what's going on?
Yes, I want to ask a question for Kyle.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Kyle. What would be your strategy this weekend at Talladega? Run up front, run at the back, or go for the winging?
Yes, all three. I'm sure at some point we're going to be running in the back somewhere or another. We might even qualify there. But past that, then you want to try to get up front. You want, we talk about points. You want to try to get up within the top 10 in order to score those stage points in the first stage and the second stage. And depending on when the wreck happens, I mean, I've been wrecked on lap 5 there in Talladega. I've been wrecked on 3 to go 3 times over again, with green, white checkers there, you know? So there's always the crash that's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. So I think you just have to go out there and race and race as hard as you can. And when guys are crashing, you just hope they're playoff guys with you that are behind you.
Mm. How tough is it to put yourself in position for stage points there? Because you can come off turn 4 with 8 points and cross the start-finish line with no points.
Absolutely.
I mean, how tough is that to figure out where you need to be?
You just race it out. I don't think in that situation, like if you're duking it out that tight, you can't do anything, you know? But you're trying to plan a couple laps ahead, whatever, and where the runs are and what's happening. And If you're running eighth, you're trying to figure out how to get to fourth if there's a group of you.
Yeah.
But if you're running eighth and you're single file with 12, you're just like, if anybody pulls out a line, you're screwed.
Yeah.
So nobody does.
Yeah, nobody does.
You know, so that you just kind of ride it out in that situation.
Yeah. How tough is the challenge for Toyota teams right now? Because I was talking to Martin. He was like, I don't know how we win a race anymore because everyone wants to gang up on us.
Yeah.
I don't know what, you know, there's not enough of Toyotas, obviously, but it kind of feels like in the Toyota camp, everybody's kind of against you guys more than anything else.
Well, we showed everybody how to do it first in Daytona a few years ago, and then the Chevy guys got together, and then the Ford guys got together, and they have way more strength in numbers than we have.
Right.
So we're a little bit behind the eight ball when you get to going to Talladega or Daytona in this situation. And so it's crazy. The Manufacturer Alliance has become that strong.
Right.
You know, and I
well, they basically all were threatened, you know?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, no. But I want to, we've talked about this with Dale Jarrett, and we've talked about it on air, is with the Manufacturer Alliance, and I know we got somebody on the phone, I'm sorry. We talked about the Manufacturer Alliance, Toyotas and Ford and Chevy. When does it get in this race where it's every man for himself, and I got to get as many points for a Kyle Busch or a Chase Elliott or a playoff contender? When do you make that decision?
Well, you got to ask all those guys that have strength in numbers, because for us, we're trying to get all we can get, and all they want to do is shovel us out. You know, but when you looked at it with Daytona, when we ran the JGR cars up front and ran really strong that day, I actually, like on the last restart or whatever, Kenseth was leading, I was second, Denny was third, and I was just like, you know what, today's not my day, today's Matt's day, I'm just going to stay in line, I'll push him, whatever.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the Daytona 500, right? But that's how we orchestrated it all from the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
And Denny, the outside started coming up and getting a run, and so Denny went up to block it. Well, the run just pushed him up through, and he got the lead and he got the win. And if I would have jumped up in front of Denny, that would have been me.
Yeah.
But I tried to stay true to the line, so it's just, I don't know what you do. I mean, you just play it out and just run hard and give it everything you got in those situations and see what happens when the checker flag flies.
Do the best you can. Put yourself in a spot. Hopefully you win it. Who knows? More Motor Mouths to come. We'll talk a little iRacing Championship tomorrow night. That's happening.
Look at this, three wide for the racing.
Tomorrow here on NASCAR America, it's the championship race, Kyle Petty, in the e-NASCAR Peak Antifreeze iRacing Series. I know you're excited. Four drivers will go door-to-door. Can you go to door-to-door online?
I don't know. Is that a real $100,000 or a virtual $100,000?
Well, they're going to race at virtual Homestead Miami Speedway in a live two-hour special 5 p.m.
I can't wait.
You do not want to miss it. By the way, one of the title contenders of the championship four, Bobby Zielinski, competes for Joe Gibbs Racing with this guy's number. How about that?
Yeah, he's an Interstate Batteries driver.
That's a good omen.
I know.
That's a good omen.
You're in the championship four already.
You know what's funny?
What's that?
He stomped everybody at the Roval, I think.
Oh, really?
And I was like, why didn't he send us the setup?
Right. Hook a brother up. Help me out.
Or come show me how to drive this damn thing. I have your data, one or the other.
That's good.
Either one would help, right? Yeah. By the way, is Brexton in iRacing at all? Does he like it?
No, I don't think he doesn't know it exists yet.
Oh, really?
No, we're just getting into the Mario Kart right now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Figured you'd get him on there, let him run a little bit, let him have some
fun. I don't have one.
You don't have a simulator at home?
No.
You don't?
No. I go to the real one.
I know that, but I don't know if you like had one at home, like in the living room.
No, if anybody wants to send one, we'll do it. I don't even know how to turn it on.
Like, by the way, you literally came here from the simulator.
I did.
That is awesome.
Yeah, for Talladega. We were testing cowls and front fenders.
Marty asked that question.
I did not. Marty asked that question. Are you going to learn at a simulator for Talladega? He said it wasn't Talladega, dude.
It was a simulated route through the infield and all the campers and stuff. You know what I'm talking about.
No. 844 NASCAR NBC. We'll go to Anthony in Florida. Anthony, what's going on today?
Well, it's going really good. How are you guys doing?
Awesome,
we're good.
We're good, Anthony.
Yeah.
Well, that is really good to hear. So the last 10 races at Talladega, they've averaged 30 lead changes, and out of the 70 cautions since, 56% of them have been for crashes. But putting those numbers aside, though, which one do you think will be greater this Sunday? Will it be the number of lead changes or the number of cars wrecked at the end of 500 miles?
Wow.
Wow.
It's like a prop bet. My brain hurts thinking about that.
Is this Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
Wrecked. I had to remember what the race looked like in the spring for a second there. I'm going to go with more wrecked cars.
Okay. There were 38 lead changes in the spring.
Wow.
I'll go with lead changes. Kyle, you got a vote? Anthony always tries to stump us.
Cases of beer drunk.
Let's go to Nick in California.
I win.
And those don't count the ones on the Peacock Pit Box, right?
He's being on the boulevard.
Yeah, Kyle would be. Nick, how you doing, bud?
Good, how are you guys?
Hey, man.
Good, what's going on?
Well, I had a question, not jumping too far, but thinking about Miami and the Final Four. In 2016, Kyle raced Carl for the title late. Kyle, do you recommend racing yourself versus three other non-team affiliated cars or two Hamlin and Truex JGR cars where the shop has to focus on all three as the two?
That's a good question.
Yeah. You know, when Carl and I raced against each other in 2016, like you mentioned, Carl was really fast all weekend long. And I was looking at his data and his setup and stuff. And I'm like, he is way too loose off the corner. Like, it's not going to last. Like, right. he's just not going to happen. He drove by me on the long run every single time. Like, I got in front of him. It was like 30 laps to go. We had a restart, maybe 40 laps to go. We had a restart. And I'm out there. I'm cruising. I'm leading. And Carl was like sixth and working his way through traffic. He comes and he flies up to my rear bumper once he cleared third. And I'm just like, I was just like, just go. Like, there's no sense in me holding you up. Like, take one for the team. Go get it for Joe. Like, it's going to be great, whatever, right? And then the old dreaded next caution comes out at the end. But yeah, so I've done it both ways. I've been the only guy in, and I've also been with Carl. I like it better when it's just me.
Yeah.
So the focus and the attention of all of the work in the shop and everything is, and the prep and all that is all on that one car, versus having to spread it out to three of them. I think that'll kind of take away from us a little bit, but, man, in 16, both of us had a shot to win the thing.
The traditional question is, does the information stop flowing? It never stops flowing necessarily, does it?
No. Like I said, you know, we were looking at Carl's setups. We were looking at his data, everything, and it was all wide open. And we were talking to Dave, and we had our debriefs the same as we always would, normally would. And so I think that would just continue on, you know. And obviously, if I'm a Joe Gibbs Racing guy, if I'm Joe, I'd much rather have my three guys
racing for it. Yeah.
So I could certainly side with Joe being a team owner myself and be like, that would kind of be cool. But the driver in me tells me I want to be the only guy.
And the rate it's going, I mean, there's a legit shot. It could be the three of you. I mean, yes, Martin's absolutely running well. You've got all the momentum from the regular season.
Yeah.
Denny's running well. I mean, so it could legitimately happen.
Could happen.
Let's go to Diane in West Virginia. Diane, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good.
My question
on your mind?
For Kyle Busch.
Yes, ma'am.
Kyle Busch.
Hi.
Hi. I know that Denny's off-track hobbies, some of them are golf and basketball, Martin, hunting and fishing. I was wondering, what are your off-track hobbies?
Yeah, that's a good question. I like going to the sand dunes, hanging out with Greg Biffle and some of the other guys that go out to the sand dunes. We get a chance to be able to go out there a couple times a year. Going out on the lake, we live up here in Charlotte. There's a lake, Lake Norman, that we go out on. Brexton's been getting more into that. We went tubing a couple times. He's tubing champion.
Oh, no way. Wow.
Yep.
No way.
Last week we went and he stayed on. Well, he got knocked off first and then he stayed on the whole rest of the time. And then I got knocked off.
You haven't flipped him over yet, have you?
No, we haven't done that.
That's good. Don't do that.
But we're having a lot of fun doing
that. Cool.
So water sports is pretty cool. That's coming up. And obviously anything that Brex wants to get into and do is where we're at right now.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Let's head up to Connecticut where we find Joan. How are you today, Joan?
I'm good, thank you. So I just want to let Kyle know that my mom is 94 years old. She watches him every single weekend. She actually screams at the TV if he's doing good or bad.
I do too.
And he's my favorite driver too. But anyway, so our question is, she's like getting a little nervous. She wants to make sure that your setup in Martinsville is going to make sure that you get to Miami.
So I like the way she thinks. She's already blown past this
she's
round.
Already gone.
Yeah,
she's in the next
she's
round.
In the next round.
She's in the next round.
Yeah.
Well, she knows you're making it in this round.
Okay. Well, I love the confidence. So that must mean Talladega is going to go really well for us.
That's good.
Yeah, Martinsville. That's a race that I'm a short track guy. I love short tracks. We have the grassroots deal here with NBC this year, which has been a lot of fun to take part in and check out. But Martinsville, man, I've worked so hard at Martinsville the last, I don't know how many years of trying to get better there. Finally got a couple wins. Won there in 2016, I think it was, that sent us to Homestead. Maybe it was 17. I don't remember. But anyways, yeah, that's an important race on our schedule, and we look towards being able to go there and win that one each and every year. So focus is Kansas next, but then it'll be Martinsville.
Once you get through Talladega, it's kind of like, okay, now we're to tracks where you probably feel a little more comfortable, I would say.
Yeah, I had a line that I used a few years ago. I won't reiterate that.
But, oh, come on. It's just national television.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll get on with it.
Coming up, it's time to see what you guys are saying on social media. Let Me Say This is next here on Motor Mouths.
You thought it was a huge deal that Kyle Busch is here. Nate Ryan is here, too.
Woo, in the house.
My Nate. Buddy.
NASCAR mandated that we have to be prepared for the rain. Nate, is that true?
You have to have a mechanism.
You have to have a mechanism. Anyways, whatever. Don't listen to Nate.
you can't see, but they're wearing the same shirt for
we
some
are?
Reason.
Oh,
dang. I don't know how
hold
that
on a minute.
It's stripes not. Plaid. Stripes and plaid. Stripes and plaid.
The hell of a show there, Nate. Hell of a show.
I'll see you guys.
Oh, it's fun to have our buddy Nate Ryan on the show. Kyle Busch, you know the way to properly greet Nate Ryan.
That's how most people greet me, actually, especially in the garage.
That's the best one.
Yeah.
That's the best one.
I love it. I'll take that.
Hey,
how's
greetings,
it going?
Greetings, Nate. How are you?
Greetings. Time for hashtag let me say this. Yeah, claps work.
Yes.
Yeah. Rowdy Nation weighing in to talk to our man here at Bob Dare 18.
I love Bob. I know Dare Bob. Is. Yep.
He wants to know how nervous were you and what were your emotions like just before you started your very first race at Talladega in 2005? And is it any different today with all your years of experience?
Nope. It's the same today as it was back then. I just hope I can walk out of here at the end of the day. That's the way it was. I mean, you always looked ahead to Talladega as the crapshoot race, whether it's the spring race or the fall race, and it just don't crash. And I think if I haven't finished in the top 10, I'm crashed. I think that's how
right,
it goes. Yeah.
You've got one win there, I think, right?
I've got one win. Yeah.
Maybe there'll be another one.
I could have had two a couple years ago. I think Stenhouse passed me with like three to go. So.
All right. Well, moving on.
Damn Roush cars.
At Hey Sweet Tweets, who are, I guess this person's from Las Vegas. They want to know, will you be sounding the siren at a Las Vegas Golden Knights game like your brother did?
I'd love to. I just haven't had the opportunity to get out there and go see a Golden Knights game.
Can you do it with the same ferocity?
this is a lot to live up to.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not so sure that was sober, but we'll go with it. Fun times. Oh,
line of the day so far. Line of the day, people. Mark it down.
Call me. Golden Knights, call me.
There you go. There you go. Hashtag, let me say this from Scotty Powell. Kyle, you own a truck team. You used to run a team in the Xfinity Series. As NASCAR looks to the next-gen car in the Cup Series, what do you think they should be focusing on in Xfinity and trucks as we move forward? How can they make those series competitive and strong?
Wow.
Big question.
Wow. That is a big question. Yeah. Wow. Look at that thing.
Look at that. Next gen car.
There's more questions on that than there are answers. So truck and Xfinity, what can we do there? I have no idea. Obviously, with what we have going on at Kyle Busch Motorsports and the truck series, they've talked about going to the flange fit bodies, to the car composite bodies and whatnot. But us as a team have also said, like, look, if you're going to do that, you might as well throw in the frame, like a COT type frame, whatever, that it's the same, whatever, all across the board. So we want to do both at once. They just did the engine thing a couple of years ago. Now we're starting to see the savings from that and not having engine bills every month. Although I didn't want to be in the engine business myself, and now I am.
Yeah.
You got to pay property taxes on that stuff. Did you know that?
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Welcome to North Carolina.
Yeah. They did not put that in not put that in the thing that showed us how much money we were going to save. Anyways, so we're getting through all of that, and Xfinity, I mean, you got to have somewhere to put all of this equipment, right? And just kind of trickle it down until it's all gone. Same thing that I think we did with the old Koi cars. They went to ARCA, right?
Yeah.
So you still got to have a place for some of the stuff that we've got right now to go to for a few years, and then I think it'll cycle through.
Right. Cycling, very important. At Rick Kaufman, hashtag let me say this, he wants to go back to the Las Vegas test with the lower horsepower, high downforce car. You said that this year would probably be more of a mental challenge, more like a chess game. He wants to know, did that hold true throughout the year? Did this kind of racing make it more mental?
It's definitely more mental, that's for sure. It drives you absolutely crazy.
I knew that was coming.
So, yeah, it's mental for sure. I think the other thing about it, though, is just like you have to really work at your passes so much harder now. Even if you're a faster guy, like we were running fast. There was a train of slower cars that were held up by lap cars in front of me this weekend when I had to go to the back. And I ran up on them by like a half a second a lap. And then I got closer and it slowed down to 4/10 a lap, 3/10 a lap, like my gain on my lap time of how much faster I was than them. And then I'm like, okay, I don't want to slow down anymore and follow in their wake. So I'm going to go outside of them and just keep my momentum going like this 2/10 faster that I am than those guys. Instantly just died out, just stalled, just went to the exact same lap time that they were running.
Even though you were in a completely different lane.
Wow. Yes.
Why is that?
I don't know. Like, I asked that question in our team meeting this weekend. I was like, why does this happen?
I should be out here. They're down there. It's a different place.
Especially a place like that.
Dude, I don't get it. So what was the question?
I think you answered it.
Okay, good.
Is it a mental game?
Yeah, it's a mental game.
Obviously it is.
Yeah. I'm not very strong in those situations.
All right, I got one more for you.
That's crazy.
Hashtag let me say this. Robin Norman says that she stopped watching NASCAR for a little bit, but she came back 2 years ago because of you. She thinks you're the best driver of our time, maybe ever. And she is surprised you are as caring as you are. What keeps you grounded as much as you are, she wants to know.
Aw.
Man, that's a Samantha. Thank you so much for giving me the love to give to my wife, you know. So obviously, Samantha's what keeps me grounded. Brexton as well, too. You know, having the opportunity to have both of them and travel with me each and every weekend as a family. And they go through the same frustrations that I do. Samantha does, you know. She's like, I get out of the car one time, and I don't remember where we were. And, like, I'm not terribly mad, but I'm, like, a little bit mad. Surprising, I know. And then Samantha asks me a question. She was like, well, why did this or this happen? And I'm like, oh, that just sent me right off the edge. You know, because I was like, she even knows.
Yeah, she even knew what was going on.
So it's like, ugh. But no, I mean, obviously having them around each and every weekend is a lot of fun. Yeah. And that's the best part of it.
That's cool. And by the way, you guys had your foundation at what, 2 weeks ago?
We did.
How'd that go?
Fantastic. It was huge. So the last couple of years, we've kind of done this dinner type experience where people just come in, sit down, sit with the same people, whatever. So we wanted to mix it up and get the room flowing and have people walking around and mingling and meeting people they probably never met before at our event. And it was good. And then we had this stand-up auction portion and then also the silent auction portion as well. And we doubled our money that we made from years past. Wow. And so it was really, really cool. Samantha did all the work on that. It was awesome to have the night that we did and to reap the benefits of that for the future couples that will.
Yeah, Bundle of Joy is an awesome thing. Yeah.
So yes, thank you.
Website real quick. What is it?
BundleofJoyFund.org.
There you go, folks.
You can find it at KyleBush.com.
There you go. Hey, thanks for sending in your tweets.
We want to hear more
later from Nate. We will. We want to hear more from you as well when we return at 844 NASCAR NBC. Saturday, don't miss the season finale for the IMSA WeatherTech Championship, the 10-hour Petite Le Mans at Road Atlanta. We'll have all-day coverage on the networks of NBC Sports starting at noon on Saturday. You guys want to come join me at Petite Le Mans for a while?
Yeah,
I'm good.
Come on.
Yeah, I'll tailgate there.
Fun.
I think I have prior commitments.
Oh, yeah, I think you do have prior commitments. Yeah. Have you ever thought about running an IMSA race, by the way? Maybe the 24 hours of Daytona. That'd
absolutely
be cool.
It would be fun.
You haven't run the 24 hours?
I never run the 24 hour. I ran the summer race one time in a Ganassi car, and the AC broke, and it fried me. I was dead. Even at night,
it was hot down there.
The old Paul Revere race, that's right? Terrible.
It was during the day, yeah. It was just the 2 hour, or the 4 hour one during the day.
During the day, okay.
I know a guy named Jimmy Vassar who owns a sweet Lexus if you'd like a ride. So I'm sure, he'd hook you up, you know.
Call me. I got it.
So what are your top three bucket list races? If you had to list out, here are my top three bucket list races I would love to do someday down the road, retired, whatever. Hmm. What would you say they are?
Indy 500 I'd put on there. I'd say any F1 race, but I know that's just never going to happen. So do you know all the rules and the things that you have to go through to get an FIA license?
I have no idea.
Dude, it's
is it crazy?
It's insane. There's no way we would ever be. Yeah, I did look into it. There's no way we'd ever be able to do it.
Like Baja 1000, something like
Baja
that?
Baja could be cool. I'd like to go do that. Right. Yeah. I don't know what else you got. The 24-hour Daytona would be really cool. I'd like to go do that. That would be fun. Yep.
Was there one race you wanted to do you never could do?
Le Mans.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Le Mans would be cool.
Yeah, Le Mans because...
although racing in the dark Gurney, is Le Mans sounds...
Yeah, but Gurney, you had Gurney, you had AJ, you had all those guys that went over and ran stock cars and did all that stuff. So they did everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then the Steve McQueen movie, man. Greatest racing movie.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's cool. That's a great race movie.
They, well, so that race, Le Mans, was always on our off week.
Yeah.
And now next year, it's not on our off week anymore.
Oh, no way.
So, man. That's not good. The IndyCar moves it around so Le Mans can be on an off week because they have so many drivers who go over. All right. Let's get back to the phone line. Let's go to South Carolina and hear from Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
Good. My question is for Kyle Busch. First of all, I'm a major fan. I've been following you since you were at Hendrix, and I'm very proud of all that you and Samantha do at your Bundle of Joy Foundation.
Thank you.
My question is, who do you feel like is your biggest competition in the chase this year?
It's probably in our house.
Yeah.
You know, Truex. Mm-hmm. He's obviously really, really good. They kind of had a rough stretch a little bit before the playoffs started. And then once the playoffs started, it's like they turned that switch and they're on it, you know? So Truex is really, really good. Denny's been really, really good. They've been competitive as well, too. Outside of our team, though, you can never count out Harvick. I think Harvick's always strong. He's a competitor that's really, really good, that knows how to run through this system, this playoff format. And I also would say Larson. If Larson makes it to the Final Four at Homestead, he's the guy. I mean, I don't know how you beat him.
When he wins at Dover, is the rest of the competition going, oh, no, we got to do everything we can to keep him out of Miami?
No, because we can still wreck him three races in a row to keep him out of Miami. So
that's a heck of a point by
you. That's good. That's great.
It's on the table, right?
That's good.
It could happen.
Yeah.
Never know. Let's go to Buck in Texas. Buck, how you doing?
Good. How y'all doing?
Good. What's going on?
Hello.
It's an honor to talk to y'all, but my question goes back to lap cars. You know, and when it comes to the championship, I have a question. Would you do exactly what Logano did that last race, being in the championship round? I know there was a lot of beef or whatever you want to talk, you know, about how he raced the leaders, but just my curious about that.
That has been the topic of the week.
Yes,
at that point,
been.
What, 25 laps down? Mm-hmm. Is that fair what he was doing?
This championship round.
Yeah, exactly. Well, especially in the championship
Yeah, I don't know how to interpret his question exactly, but so...
Is it fair what Joey Logano was doing last weekend? Would you do the same thing if you were that?
But I think he's talking about, would you do that at Homestead?
Oh, okay.
And I think Joey did it at Homestead to me in 2017. Yeah, restarted third or fourth or something
Drivers
like that.
Drivers have long memories.
And Truex jumped out to the lead. Logano was second. He wasn't eligible in the final four. And I was third, and I got stuck behind him. I was trying to move my way around him, like different lanes all the time for about 11 laps. Finally, I got by him. And then I ran down Truex from 3 seconds back, but then couldn't pass him when I got there because my stuff was all used up. You know,
so, I remember that. Wow.
It depends on who it is and how good your memory is on what others have done to you.
Is it different this year, Kyle? I mean, with the non-playoff drivers, the way they're racing the playoff drivers, seems like there's
We've always
less...
had that debate. I mean, it's hilarious that this is Johnson's first year of not making
exactly.
the playoffs.
Exactly.
And he's like, I hate how these guys are racing.
He is mad at everybody right now.
Well, that's fine. But, I mean, it... Again, you got to pick and choose your battles sometimes, you know, and what you're doing. And yes, you do, as a playoff guy, you do expect these guys to give you an extra inch or two, knowing that they're not racing you for a championship. But like all of them keep saying, which is the playoff guys have a hell of a lot more to lose than I do. It's true.
Yeah.
You know, so again, you got to pick and choose your battles.
Well, coming up, we'll take a trip to Talladega's other track as part of our 50 States in 50 Days tour.
What was your first race like in Alabama?
Oh, my God. I let him tell you.
I was feeling pretty good. I had run the night before at Dixie Speedway, a quarter mile in Birmingham, and run fifth in the first heat, fifth in the semi, and fifth in the feature. Told him, I said, I'll go up to the pay window and get her a couple bucks, and we'll get a hamburger, and we'll sleep in the truck on the way to Montgomery.
Yeah.
I go to the pay window, and they gave me $135. I said, Donnie, we have died and gone to heaven. Look at all this
That's
money.
The gospel. That's the gospel.
$135. That's the gospel.
$135. They went from Hialeah in Florida up to run some races and made so much money they just stayed and became the Alabama gang.
$135. That's a ton of money, right?
They are so much fun. That's one of the most favorite, one of my favorite. Coffee with Kyle's with Donnie. Donnie tells some great stories and gets into Indy, gets in some different type of racing, and then some personal tragedies. So there's a little bit of everything.
I heard there were a lot of laughs, but there was also a lot of emotion.
A lot of emotion. Because both of them, basically Bobby and Donnie's career both ended in racing accidents on the racetrack. They lost family members on the racetrack. A lot of success, a lot of triumph, but a lot of tragedy in the Allison family. So, and I grew up with them all.
Right.
Like I said, I could have been their son-in-law at some point in time. They didn't want to hear that.
Not a good time to bring that up.
Yeah.
You can watch the full episode on the Motorsports on NBC YouTube channel. Do you ever have a story like that, Kyle, where you made any sum of money and you're like, holy smokes, I have made it. I am in.
So I never made a dime when I was racing my dad's cars. I put in my time and he took all the money from the pay window and put it back into the car.
But you
or
never
whatever.
Got... anything.
Huh? No.
Late models.
Never got paid to drive a Legends car or late. Well, you're not going to get paid to drive a Legends car.
I didn't pay to drive a Legends car.
And I didn't have to pay to drive a Legends car. My dad paid for me to drive his Legends car. Late models never got paid. Trucks, I have yet to receive a paycheck to run any truck series race.
What?
That's right.
No way.
Even in my Roush starts that I had, my six starts or whatever, I never signed the deal, so they never paid me.
You got paid zero.
Zero. Zilch. Nada.
What?
Yep.
That's a little bit of NASCAR history there, people.
Yeah, yeah. So my first paycheck that I ever got was from Hendrick Motorsports when I was hired to go run ARCA and Xfinity that season with ARCA was just the R&D team.
Yeah.
And then the Xfinity stuff was at NEMCO.
Yeah.
Motorsports. Right. I got to go run with Joe and Brian Patty.
The old Ditech car.
The old Ditech car. That's right.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Crazy.
That was your first paycheck.
That was my first paycheck. Well, insane. In racing, yeah. Like,
yeah,
I worked
yeah,
at
yeah.
Hobbytown USA, so I could have a little bit of money on my own so I could go buy RC cars. So everything I made from Hobbytown, I pretty much reinvested in Hobbytown. So I guess I didn't make any money.
Yeah, hopefully you got an employee discount. I would really hope. Yeah. Tell me you got paid, right?
I got paid like $89 a week. Because I was already working
this
and paid.
Fascinating.
I was on my dad's pit crew too. Hey, I was the over the wall game, over the wall guy too. So that's good. Mm. Making big money.
$89. That sets up our 50 states in 50 days tour. Kyle Busch, where are we going?
Alabama.
Yeah, not only Alabama. Go. We are going to the Talladega Short Track, located across the street, just east of the Super Speedway.
For all the race fans.
Nickname, that's right. The Hornet's Nest. How about that?
The Hornet's Nest.
By the way, three nights of racing action. This weekend, you can catch everything going on there. There's kart racing Thursday and two full programs Saturday and Sunday. The biggest event, January, it's Alabama. Why not, right? The Ice Bowl, 29th annual coming up. And you can't talk Talladega Short Track without
biggest
talking.
Biggest event is Red Farmer's
Red
birthday
Farmer.
Every year. Red Farmer,
ladies and gentlemen. 86.
Yeah, there's no way he's 86. He's 86 when Bobby and Donnie moved to Alabama back in 1956.
He still races there every week.
No, man.
In the Crate Late Model division.
He's the man. He is the man.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Also in Alabama, OP. Heard of that, right?
I have.
Home of the Rattler 250. Where the winner, by the way, gets to kiss the rattlesnake.
Look at this.
Oh, look at Cam Burton.
Yeah, Mama
no
Burton.
No way.
Look
she
at Jeff having it.
Jeff just runs and leaves Kim there. That's the best part of that shot every time.
Oh, Lord. They're racing Friday and Saturday at OP. Harrison not afraid at all, by the way, of that rattlesnake.
Oh.
Our grassroots racing tour has been honoring local tracks and drivers across America. That's one more look.
I love that. I love that.
Awesome, Kim. Poor Kim, we're going to get a call later. Congrats to Nicholas Denton, who won the Bandolero Bandits Championship at Alabama's Sunny South Speedway. Nicholas won 10 of the 11 races this year. That's impressive.
That is impressive.
And then last Saturday night.
Those are Kyle Busch numbers.
That's right.
Those are Kyle Busch, yeah, baby.
Josh Berry with a beatdown at Martinsville won $44,000.
Awesome.
And a grandfather clock. Junior told me he's going to ask for a second one so he can put it in the Dell Junior download.
No,
studio.
You got to go win a second
one. No.
I won it as an owner right there, right?
No, that don't
Josh
count.
Gets a clock. Junior gets
doesn't
the money.
Count.
I've been around.
My wife told me it doesn't count. See, I had three guys that won at Martinsville and got grandfather clocks. We weren't allowed to keep any of them.
No
the drivers
way.
Did, so I had to go win my own truck race at Martinsville.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I've never seen a performance like that at Martinsville. Just crazy what he was able to do. Josh earned the clock. So there you go. Hey, more of your calls and your tweets for Kyle Busch coming up next here on Motor Mouth. Hey, another reminder, tune in tomorrow, 5 Eastern here on NASCAR America for the championship race in the eNASCAR Peak Antifreeze iRacing Series. Four drivers will race for the title at virtual, not the real, Homestead Miami Speedway, Kyle.
Not the real.
Not the real one. 2-hour live special you don't want to miss. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have a host of folks on it. Going to be exciting. And this guy's car is in it as well. Time for installment number 2 of Let Me Say This. You ready?
I'm ready.
Kyle and Nate.
Yeah.
Let's have
Is Kyle ready? All right. These are like rapid fire. So
rapid
we're going to start
Let's
with
go.
Dalton Good 18. He's always wanted to know, who's your favorite college football team?
Interesting. The one winning.
The one winning. Okay.
That's a fantastic answer.
That is a great answer.
Robert Hall wants to know, do you have any more plans to run Greg Biffle in the truck race this year or next year?
Not anymore this year, no. Schedule's been filled out. But I would love to have Greg back in the truck and even do some other guys and give them some opportunities. We've tried working on some things with some different names. I won't mention them. It just hasn't come together. You know how it is. It's the almighty dollar. We're struggling.
Gavinator 18. He
Gavin.
Saw that you got rid of your beard. Will it make a return or is it better luck without it?
You tell me. I don't know. We'll find out. We only had one race go by without it so far. So, I don't know. It was just in time for a change and need to see if we can't get some luck on our side.
All right. Journey XY27, out of all the paint schemes you've driven, which is your favorite?
I'd have to go with the M&M's green crispy car, the one that we won the championship with in 2015 down in Miami. That's green is money. The 18 car, when it's been successful, it's always been green. So love keeping that thing green as much as we can. Thank you, Interstate Batteries.
All right. Journey is also going to be at JGR and KBM Monday. After
on
Talladega,
Monday.
Will you be there?
I don't know. It's not on my radar.
All right, sorry, Journey. You may not get your
it's
autograph.
Wednesday.
Finally, Puppy says to you, Puppy, they just wanted to say it was nice seeing a different side of Kyle Busch on hashtag Racing Wives.
Hashtag Racing Wives. Yes, thank you. Well, that's a show for the girls, but I did make my cameos every once in a while.
Yes, and I watched every episode.
Yeah. Make sure everybody.
Did you enjoy doing that?
It was okay. It was fine. Yeah. I mean, some days they want you to do stuff, and it's like, I'm busy. Like, I got other things to do. Can we make this quick? but otherwise, it was good. So make sure you send all of your love to Joe and at Joe Gibbs Racing and tell him how great it was to have Racing Wives so we can have a season two.
There you go. Joe controls that?
No, he doesn't, but...
Who knew?
Just bother him anyway.
No, he doesn't. Just help me out.
Yeah.
Let's squeeze in a few more calls. We'll go to Landon in West Virginia. How you doing, Landon?
Good.
Good, buddy. Hey, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm your biggest fan, and I just wanted to know, like, what are your plans when you get to the championship round?
Woo!
When I get to the championship round. All right. I like the way this guy thinks. So I would say our plan is to win. We want to go out there and run strong, do the best we can. Last year we had an okay car. We really weren't that great. We want to look like the 22 car did last year. He was just stellar. Like from the moment they unloaded, they just had speed. So that's what we really got to work on is making sure that we show up to Homestead Miami Speedway with some speed.
Yeah. Cool. That sounds great. Let's go to Layla. Layla, how you doing? You there, Layla?
Yes, I am.
Hello. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to tell Kyle that my husband recently got me into NASCAR 2 years ago, and ever since then, I've been a huge fan. I think you're one of the best drivers, and I love your confidence and your cockiness.
All right.
Well, there we go.
I appreciate that.
It's always good when people love it when you're cocky, right?
I mean, you got to back it up, right?
Right.
You can't just be cocky and not be able to get out there and get the results and get the wins and everything else. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
That's awesome. I didn't write down all the things we learned today, but we learned Kyle never got a paycheck until he got to Hendrick. That was fairly interesting. Yeah. He wants to run an F1 race. What else did we learn?
This Samantha doesn't pay him at Kyle Busch Motorsports. We learned that.
Does not pay you at all. Come on, man. Yeah. Hey, don't forget the iRacing series tomorrow night right here on NASCAR America. We'll see you tomorrow here at 5.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.